I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It is Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. How are we feeling, man? You got an angry look on your face.
Oh, no, that's that reading. You know what I'm saying? I got to focus, man. Got to focus. Daniel, son.
I need to focus on that mute button, too.
You looked
angry. It's like your race from the Seaport studio, and we did KJZ this morning. To home to set up for our show, like something might happen. I was worried about you.
John sent me a new Home Depot read, it looks like, so I had to make sure that this was mine. I didn't know if it was mine or yours. He said, hey, Bart, you got two reads in the first hour. So I'm like, let me scroll up. Okay. Well, these look like two.
No one wants me to do reads. They're always about you doing the reads. That's what it's about.
No, they love you because they know people will understand if you do the reads. Anyway, what kind of Ebonics read was that? What did he say to you?
It depends on how much sleep we get.
Yeah, that's true.
You ready for Straight Talk? Brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
Bring that Straight Talk, man. We've got Straight Talk today.
Because, yeah, and we do have lots of Straight Talk today, and we want you to be part of that conversation. 1-888-SAY-ESPN. 1-888-729-3776 at Barton Hahn on Twitter and Instagram as well. In the Straight Talk, we go right to the Mel Kiper, the 3.0. Mock draft.
Oh, how many O's are it? Is it the 3? Was it the 5?
It's the 3.0.
Okay. No,
it's
okay. 3.0. Okay. We're going to get the 5.0. That's like the draft day, the 5.0, the
that's
final.
That's the GT version of the mock draft.
Okay.
Like the 5.0 GT version.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying? Like right now we're at 3.0, but this one gets your attention. Because if you remember, Mel Kiper, for the first time since doing mocks, he decided, I'm going to start predicting trades, right? Look. Mm. First of all, when it comes to the number one pick, just take out your Sharpie, write Trevor Lawrence. We already know. That's Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence, done. It's what's after that, especially if you're in New York, especially if you're the Jets or a Jets fan, that catches your attention. Because for a while, it was the Jets are trading out of two, and that's when he decided, all right, I'm going to put trades in my mock draft. And Kiper decided the first trade he's going to make is the Jets trading out of two. He always had Zach Wilson going to whomever the Jets were trading to, right?
Yeah.
But he doesn't have the Jets trading that pick anymore. He's got the Jets making the pick, and he's got them taking Zach Wilson, which means they're going quarterback at two. And, Bar, what does that suggest about Sam Darnold?
Well, that suggests that Sam Darnold, of course, he's not going to be a placeholder for a young rookie quarterback because he's a young quarterback himself. So that means that they're going to be looking for a trade partner. And you say, okay, well, who could be those trade partners? Chicago, San Francisco, maybe Pittsburgh, right? You think about the teams that are in desperate need of a quarterback and desperately in need of a young quarterback. Now, the Steelers have Haskins, so they kind of already have that rehabilitation project. I don't say that Sam is in dire need of, you know, structure and professionalism and, you know, that Haskins has. But if they're going to take Zach Wilson, they better hurry up and try and find a veteran backup quarterback to kind of start and lead, because Flacco's interviewing in Philly right now. You think about Mike Glennon's already in New York, but he's with the Giants. So you're going to have to try. Tyrod Taylor's in Houston. So that suggests that, you know, they have to go hurry up and try and trade Sam Darnold maybe before draft day, but then they have to figure out who's their veteran that's going to start the season. Maybe Blaine Gabbert? I don't know.
Blaine Gabbert?
Somebody.
Well,
Blaine Gabbert's still around. Blake Bortles the one that's done, right? Blaine Gabbert, I always think about the first round Jacksonville quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And it's like Blaine Gabbert was actually before Blake Bortles, because Blake Bortles took him to the playoffs. But I think Blake Bortles is actually out of the league. And I think Blaine Gabbert's been still bouncing around the league. He just hiding on rosters collecting the check.
All right. So, all right, Zach Wilson at number two, right?
Yep.
Zach Wilson's pro day is Friday, by the way. So all eyes will certainly be on him to see what he can do. I don't know if there's anything more you can see, but that's a story for a few minutes from now, as we'll take you through the rest of the mock. Quarterbacks go 1 through 4. That doesn't surprise you, does it?
It doesn't, because teams – it's not that the first four teams think that they want to take a quarterback. It's that everybody that wants a quarterback knows they have to move up to the top four, maybe top five, to be able to have the opportunity to mm-hmm. draft a quarterback. So I'm not surprised with that fact. I'm surprised at who Mel decided was yes. going to be the ones that were going to be aggressive to move up to get those quarterbacks.
All right, so he doesn't have the Jets trading out anymore. So before I get to what happens at 3 with Miami Dolphins, here's what Mel Kiper told us this morning as we were on KJZ, as we've been last week, this week, and who knows beyond. The Jets aren't going to he doesn't have them trading. He did last week, so I asked him, well, what's your reasoning for the change of heart with the Jets at number 2?
It's a 50-50 thing, and you can project a trade. Well, if you do that, is it a certainty? And that's when I kept thinking about it and talking to people. If it's not a sure thing, why am I doing it? So I think Kyle Pitts would look great in a Jets uniform. I would personally trade out of 2. I would go with Sam Darnold. That's me. I think they still have not necessarily made that call. Who knows? Maybe Joe Douglas has in his own mind already decided that. But people around the league say it's a 50-50 deal. I mean, you move forward with Sam, you get a guy at 2, okay, let's say Kyle Pitts. Now you just take Kyle Pitts at 2, or you trade off a 2 and you get Kyle Pitts, or a big-time receiver like Jamar Chase or Devontae Smith to help out Sam Darnold. You go with Zach Wilson, you lose Pitts, Smith, Chase, Waddle, all those guys. So, and then you're getting Zach Wilson, who's an unknown. At least you know something about Sam. So, again, I think this is a tough call. I stuck with it because I didn't want to project a trade, knowing this is basically a 50-50 situation.
So he's going 50-50. His knowledge, his sourcing is telling him that it's 50-50 that the Jets are going to trade or not trade at number 2. So that's why he took it off the board. Yeah. So it's not that he's saying, I know they're going to take, or I'm hearing they're going to take Zach Wilson. What he's saying is, I'm not 100% confident that the Jets are going to stay, are going to trade that 2. So if they aren't, this is the guy that's going to go 2. So yeah. I'm going to do it that way. So he's pretty much just telling you that. So I don't read too much into it, Bart, because I don't know if it means that Zach Wilson's going to be a Jet, because I agree with him, and I know you do too. Kyle Pitts in a Jet uniform would be a really, really nice fit, especially if you're keeping Sam Darnold.
Well, you have to ask yourself why. And earlier today, I believe in an interview, Corey Davis said that he anticipates that Sam Darnold's going to be the quarterback, and we don't know what discussions were had when they were courting some of these receivers, and these receivers said, hey, who's going to be my quarterback? They're probably saying, hey, Sam Darnold. So they maybe have an inkling about what the Jet plans are, but they can't kind of leak it because right now Joe Douglas is trying to play chess and strategically be able to use that pick and get max value. But also, when you say that, and I bring up Corey Davis because I think he plays a big factor in this, because I believe if you're the Jets, even if Jamar Chase is sitting there, you don't take him because you have Mims, who I think could be a number one, and you have Corey Davis, who's a younger receiver that you just paid money. So the best way to complete your skill position trio mm-hmm. is to go after a guy like Kyle Pitts or – to take the tackle. That's how you improve your skill position group, one, by protection, or two, getting another weapon. So I think if the Jets do that, they're going to move down. And surprising enough in his draft that he didn't have the Bengals taking Sewell and passing on him, which was
the first
surprise for me. So I think that the Jets are in position to move back, and I think they should move back as far as 4th or maybe even 8th, to be able to get max value. If Sam Darnold is decided to say, hey, we're going to give him an opportunity to prove himself.
If he is certainly the guy going forward, at least they want to just give him that one more year to see in maybe a little more stable environment with more weapons, if he can finally start to show that potential that everybody thought he might have had coming into the league back in 2018 in that draft. So after the Jets, that's when the trading begins for Mel Kiper. At 3, the Miami Dolphins would be trading. Carolina being aggressive, they'd be the team moving up from 8. Justin Fields, he has them going to Carolina from Ohio State. Atlanta, as you mentioned, that 4 pick, right? Atlanta, they also take a quarterback, Trey Lance from North Dakota State, and you kind of like that, right? Where you bring him into Atlanta to the Falcons, where he doesn't have to play right away. You have a good offensive mind in Arthur Smith, and you have Matty Ice in front of him for him to have that, you know, assimilation into the league. So you like that there, right? So that's four quarterbacks in the first four picks, which is remarkable.
Right, and we know two of them more than likely aren't going to pan out. So two teams up here is going to be wrong.
The odds
and
tell
have to,
you, right?
And going to have to figure something out. They're going to pick the wrong guy, and they're going to be right back in the same place because they gave up a lot of equity to move up to be aggressive. But I think why Lance makes sense is Arthur Smith is going to be starting his coaching reign, and he's going to want to have his young quarterback to groom and to grow with and to hitch his wagon to. You know, he can't hitch his wagon to Matty Ice. Matty Ice is closer to the end than he is to the beginning. So, you know, I think that makes sense there. I think that's a perfect landing spot because even if Julio Jones is not going to be on the team much longer, you still have Calvin Ridley. You still have Hayden Hurst. You still have young weapons down there. Mike Davis they just picked up. It makes total sense, and I think that would be the best spot for Trey Lance if we want to give him the best shot to be a successful professional quarterback.
All right, again, now Cincinnati's at five, and there's where he puts Kyle Pitts, the tight end from Florida that, you know, a lot of people think is going to be a fantastic player in the NFL. And for Cincinnati, I know you said you'd like to see them get an offensive lineman, Penei Sewell, who drops in Kuiper's mock this that just came out.
Right.
But, again, Pitts for a young quarterback in Joe Burrow would also be a really nice addition certainly as well. And then we have –
Can we go back and kind of like zero in on why he decided Kyle Pitts there and before it was Sewell? It's because they had drafted the first-round draft pick a couple years ago from Alabama as their left tackle, and they signed Riley Reiff, you know, the longtime great tackle for the Minnesota Vikings. So at that point, if you sign those two players and your need is not – you know, your pressing need is not at the tight end, I mean, at the tight tackle position right now.
Right.
But that could be a gift for the Jets because that means before the Jets would say, hey, I was nervous, I have to go before only to the fourth pick because, you know, Cincinnati had been rumored to take Sewell. But now that gives you the opportunity, according to Mel's draft, to drop back maybe to ninth where we always thought that maybe they can be in play for the Panthers pick and still get their guy. Right, and still be able to get a guy like Sewell because we assume that the other teams above that are going receiver.
Barton Hahn, as we're talking about Mel Kiper's 3.0 mock that just came out. So four quarterbacks in the first four picks he has. He doesn't have the Jets trading out of two this time around. He has them taking Zach Wilson, but as he explained, it's because the fact that they might trade the pick is 50-50 from what he understands. So he said if it's 50-50, you just don't have them making the trade. You just stick with it. So that's what he's doing. Then he has the Dolphins trading out with Carolina out of three, and Carolina taking Justin Fields, the quarterback. Like I said, quarterback's first four picks.
Well, that's perfect.
Kyle Pitts going
RPO
five.
With McCaffrey.
And then, by the way, the next three picks – all wide receivers. We're going skill position here, Bart. A lot of skill early on. No defensive players, by the way. I know that's bothering you. So, Eagles, you go Jamar Chase from LSU.
Makes sense.
You
got to get a weapon, right? You think about Alshon Jeffries not being there. Rieger's a young receiver. They passed on his teammate last year, Justin Jefferson. Could you imagine if they would have picked both of those two in successive years? They're going to pick a receiver in the first round 2 years in a row, and they only got one. If Jamar Chase is good, because when they got last year, I'm sure they want to take him back and send him back and take and they'll take less for him.
You want a do-over. Yeah, it's funny. This draft, by the way, is in Cleveland. And you know how they used to call the old building the mistake by the lake?
Yeah, don't make
this. Who in this draft is going to make what will maybe one day be called the mistake by the lake? You don't want it to be a quarterback, guys.
Well, yeah.
So, wait, more wide receivers. Your team, Detroit, Lyon.
Yep.
You have the Devontae Smith from
Alabama.
Say
with your chest. He's wiry. You know, he's talking about he's 170. He's wiry. So I guess it's okay. You know, we don't have to worry about his health. And, you know, I don't know if you've seen that video of Pat White getting hit on the sideline where he retired and he went to sleep on the sideline in a football uniform, woke up the next day in a baseball uniform because he quit football altogether.
Hey, you got to catch this kid, though. We know you got to catch him. So we'll see. All right. And then the last wide receiver in the trio, his teammate from Alabama, Jalen Waddle. And that ends up being Miami's pick as they – projected will swap with Carolina. That's at eight. Then we get to nine, and there's Penei Sewell from Oregon, the tackle that you really believe in and you think that would be a great pick for Cincinnati. Minnesota gets him in what another projected trade. Minnesota jumping up from 14 to 9. Denver dropping back, which is a bit of a surprise, right? Then at 10, this is something you've been talking about for a long time. Patrick Surtain, the cornerback from Alabama, that the Cowboys would be looking to add to their defense at this point after getting Dak Prescott, stay in the fold. That offense is already set. They've got to get the defense on track, and Surtain will certainly help them at corner. At 11, the Giants. This is a new one. Is it Quiddy Payne? Am I saying that right?
I gotta admit,
I don't know the player.
Let's call him Witty Witty. Well, Witty Witty is a defensive end for Michigan, right? He's like 270. He didn't have a lot of production as far as sack totals, but he's a guy that's a tremendous bender. He's fast. He checks all the boxes. He's like 270, so he'd be perfect to be opposite of Leonard Williams, as Leonard Williams is more of that elephant defensive end. You think about Strahan, who was the guy who set the edge, played well in the run, but got to the quarterback. You think about Osi, who was just a pure pass rusher. This will allow him to come in and be that pure pass rusher coming across the edge, and hopefully they can coach him up to get him to get more productivity. His body and his skill set and his speed and all his measurables suggest that he should be he should have more productivity. The last guy that they had coming out of Michigan like that you looked at his productivity and didn't match what he did as far as testing was Rashawn Gary.
Okay.
Came out 4.5, 280, and like, why did he only have 9 career sacks in college?
I don't know why.
Witty Payne. Witty Payne poses the same questions that Rashawn Gary did.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you know, again, the Giants going defense here, their defense, you know, came a long way last year under Patrick Graham, had gotten a lot better where it was at the start of the season.
Right.
And they've got a ton of offense and skill on the other side of the ball, which we'll talk more about a little bit later on in the show as they keep making additions. And they actually made a defensive addition as well in free agency.
Yeah, Adoree Jackson. Well. Yeah, Adoree Jackson.
Which is a nice addition, right? Was it 3 years, 36 mil? Was
that 3 years, that was 39 mil. So that 39? Makes annually $13 million a year. Yep.
Right, that's a nice addition on the defensive side. So that's the Giants at 11. And then just quickly through, because I want to get to the last quarterback. So then at 12, San Francisco, Caleb Farley, another corner for Virginia Tech. The Chargers go with an offensive lineman, Rashawn Slater from Northwestern. That's at 13. And then that trade we talked about with Denver and Minnesota, Denver drops back to 14. Micah Parsons, linebacker from Penn State.
Yeah, that suggested they're trying to get a heir apparent or successor to Von Miller, who they picked up as option, but they have Chubb on the other side, so they want to make sure that they can get somebody that can learn from Von for 1 year.
Okay, and then last but not least, just because I want to get it, so the fifth quarterback in the top 15, your favorite, New England.
Bum
the
salad.
Patriots, Mac Jones. At quarterback from Alabama. And the funny thing is when we talked about Alabama's pro day. Today, right? Today, I believe?
Yeah, I think it's today.
And I remember
that email.
Right. Because Devontae Smith said he wasn't going to do anything at the pro day. But Mac Jones, it's interesting. So when we talked to Mel Kiper this morning on KJZ, and I didn't know this was going to go here. Was it you, Bart, that asked him, or was it Jay that asked him about the pro day? It was whoever asked him.
Man, that was like yesterday. I don't even remember.
I know, right?
It seems
set up for an unbelievable answer from Mel Kiper. Now, this again, Mel Kiper, he lives the draft. He lives and breathes the draft.
Information.
For him, it is all about, information and what you see and what you know. So you would think pro days for him? I mean, that's like going shopping.
Yeah.
Right, let's go to the mall. I'm going to this pro day, that pro day, especially this week, a lot of pro days. But once you hear what Mel Kiper said when he was asked, so are you going to watch and see what Mac Jones looked like? Are you going to pay attention? You know, are you interested in what you're going to see out of Mac Jones at his pro day? And this was his answer.
Nothing, because I won't watch it. I could care less. You know,
I love it, Mel.
Pro days to me, I'll give you some evidence to justify a rant about pro days, okay?
Okay.
Jamarcus Russell, according to Eric Todd McShay, my good friend Todd, had the best pro day ever, right? Peyton Manning may have had the worst pro day ever. Bouncing passes, wobbly balls, GMs rolling their eyes. If it was Peyton Jones, not Peyton Manning, it'd be a third-round pick. I've heard all this garbage and nonsense for 43 years now. So I learned after all that to say, really, pro days?
I tell you what, I mean, listen, it was more. That was just the tip of the iceberg right there with Mel, right? He went on an epic rant that, you know, if you want to hear it in its entirety, you have to listen to the second hour. I'm just playing.
it was crazy. It cut off all of a sudden. We were both kind of caught off guard because he went into detail – just all the different examples.
All the bums. And then I wanted to poke the bear. Teddy Bridgewater,
and he wore a glove, and that was like, oh, my God, he wore a glove.
And I wanted to poke the bear. I wanted to poke the bear because I know he's a Ravens fan, and I wanted to bring up Kyle Bowler, who threw the ball 70 yards from a knee. Like, okay, well, when do we ever ask our quarterback to do that? You know, how about just stand up on 2 feet and hit the open receiver, which he couldn't do. So that was
how dare you. But it's true. Pro days, really, what are they useful for? I don't know. But, you know, clearly they're a big part of it, and there's a lot going on this week. And Zach Wilson, like I mentioned, who he suggests will go number two in the draft from BYU, pro day is on Friday. 888-SAY-ESPN. Let's take Phil in the Bronx. Phil, what's happening, man?
Arnon, what's going on? Love you guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
I don't know what Sam's price tag would be, but would this make sense to trade Sam and the 23rd pick to San Fran for the 12th and pick up Slater or another weapon? Because we take Wilson at 2.
Well, I mean, but then is Wilson an upgrade from Sam Darnold, especially this year? I don't think so. So I'd rather give Sam a fair chance to prove what he can do with weapons for the first time and with what we believe is a competent head coach and offensive coordinator for the first time. Remember, we've been talking about Sam Darnold. Oh, the perfect fit for Sam Darnold is San Francisco. Well, Mike LaFleur is running San Francisco's system. So why would you give that to San Francisco and let them benefit from what Sam can be when you can benefit from what Sam can be and utilize those picks to be able to improve the football team? And if Sam Darnold doesn't live up to expectations, well, guess what? You can use those picks, like I've been saying forever, to go get Deshaun Watson or go get Russell Wilson because you have 2 first-round draft picks next year. And if you drop down, you're going to get another one, so you'll have 3.
Yeah, I don't know if there is a rush, and I'm not sure if there needs to be a rush when it comes to Sam Darnold at this point.
I can see if it was Goff and Wentz, like where we had, like, man, we got 2 unanimous franchise quarterbacks, at least what we thought what was the narrative when they were in the draft. We got 1, Trevor Lawrence. Everybody else is a mystery. We're throwing it up in the air. We hope it turns to sunshine.
We hope it turns to sunshine. Just like this show, we throw it in the air and hope it turns to sunshine. That was Straight Talk, brought to us by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. And speaking of course, what the Jets should do going forward. There was one angle, which was what you can use all these draft picks for, and that, of course, would be a trade for Deshaun Watson. But the more the news comes out, and oh, by the way, more news has come out today, if you can believe it, because it feels like, how could there be more? There is more. It's jarring, it's concerning, and it's something we have to talk about, and we'll do that next. But Bart, first, you got Home Depot for us?
Home Depot, man, for the Depot? Yeah. I got Home Depot. Like, what are you talking about,
what
man?
What was that? Remix.
No, I'm just playing. For the DIY projects, you know that Home Depot always is always in your corner. And with a mobile app, the Home Depot can also be in the palm of your hands. With digital tools like image search, just snap a picture of something, the app will recognize it and serve you up the project suggestions in seconds. And the Home Depot product locator will check the availability and lead you to right to it. The Home Depot mobile app, download it today and get started only from Home Depot. How doers get it done. That's all, folks. We'll be right back after this.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Thank my connect. That's the hottest line ever. You know what I'm saying? Your connect. Like, who your connect, your Al? There. Who your connect, Al?
Who's my connect? You.
Who give you that hot fire?
You're my connect.
You know what I'm saying? You my connect. You know what I'm saying? True.
There you go. There you go. Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Bart took out a calculator. He'll show his work if you need be.
Yeah.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's grab a couple of calls here. Let's go to Michael in Orlando. Michael.
How you guys doing?
Good.
All right, I wanted to throw out a thing for the Jets fans. If we're looking at the situation with the Jets, a trade back this year in the first round gives you three picks next year. If you look at next year's draft class, because everybody gets tunnel vision with this year, you got to solve everything.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, the only quarterbacks available that are decent are Big Ben, who's going to retire, and then the rest of Sam's class, who are all going to be retained. Sam's going to get you a first pick next year. You have Russ and you have Watson drama. Besides that, it's just Sam. So they're better off holding on and knocking it out this way. You can build for the long term.
Well, if Sam balls out, let me hit mute. If Sam balls out and he gets you a first-round draft pick, then that would give the Jets four draft picks. If they move back this year, they're going to get the team's next first-round pick. Just imagine if a team like Carolina moves from 8 to 2. You know how much that's going to cost them? That's going to cost them 2 ones, 2 twos, and maybe a 3. So the Jets would be in perfect position. And then if they trade Sam, I mean, they'll get a first-round draft pick if he plays well. But if he plays well, why would you trade him?
Yeah,
put him on a 2-year deal or franchise tag him and figure out if you can work out a deal.
Yeah, you have always said the Jets should just be patient, use the pick, get as many more picks as you can, and you have another year to figure things out and another year, obviously, to see where the quarterback landscape is. It's almost like this is not the time to impulse buy, and in a few minutes we'll tell you why. Let's take another call here. Jeremy is in Jersey. Jeremy?
Good afternoon, guys. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Hey, one thing I was really thinking over the Galladay sign, and being an ex-quarterback myself, is good for Galladay for the money, good player, but he's the type of receiver that you need to throw open, and he doesn't get open enough. Now, beyond that, is that as a quarterback, I think the most important thing for the Jets and Giants is to build the line.
Agree.
I don't know what that costs. I wasn't a coach in college for four of the line, but as a quarterback, I understood the mechanism.
Well, you think that the Giants think that they're improving their line just simply because they got Nate Solder to come back on a team-friendly deal.
And that line got better as the year went on. By the end of the year, that line had gotten better. Right. Thomas started figuring it out because he had some issues early on, but he did start figuring it out. The Jets' offensive line with Becton, obviously, is – but yeah, but go ahead. Jeremy.
The Giants have to replace Zeitler, and you look at, like, to your point, to the Jets line, it's pretty much the same line. So I am concerned a little bit there. I mean, I know they got the guy Freeney, but, you know, who knows if we need to know if the Clark kid, you know, he was supposed to be a captain from Charlottesville, East, West, North, directional school, and this dude never stepped on the field. He's like, you ain't good enough to even step on the field the whole damn year? The hell wrong with this dude? You know what I mean? He was like 25 years old because when you go to those small schools, you don't come out early. So I'm like, what the hell going on? So
Northeast
like
Southern State University.
Exactly. Right? Listen, my coaches always say, if you come from a multi-directional school, you weren't that good. So I come from Southern Illinois, you know, East, West, North,
well,
Southern.
That's only
Southern
one direction.
Illinois.
It wasn't multi-directional. If you were from Southeast Northwestern Illinois school, like university, maybe that'd
school
be
of Latter-day Saints. Like, oh, man, this dude's a bum. but I tell you what, the Jets still have a lot of work to do, right? They have a lot of work to do. And like I said, the thing that's out there, I believe what everybody's doing is they're waiting to see if they can wait this Deshaun Watson, you know, scenario out,
right?
And wait the Russell Wilson scenario out, because what you don't want to do is start trading picks before the draft, because we know that right now you can make a trade for a great player, Orlando Brown Jr. Right? He's on the clock, and the Ravens
Another
are
tackle.
Listening, right? So that's a tackle. But if you spend that first round pick, then you may not have enough draft equity to be able to woo the Texans to trade Deshaun Watson, who they continue to bring backups in. And or Russell Wilson, right? So at some point, you don't want to be the team that bought too early,
right? But and on that point, and nice transition, by the way, my man.
Uh-huh, I'm
perfect.
Learning.
All right, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. As Bart mentions, Deshaun Watson. I mean, there's obviously a pause button now on any type of conversation about trading for him or the Texans trading him. So the latest today in his situation, and I'm honestly now, this has been a week's worth of news where each time you're thinking, all right, that's got to be it, right? There can't be another headline. Sarah Barshep, who covers the Texans for ESPN.com, just reported earlier this morning, at 10:30 this morning, this posted, a 14th lawsuit alleging sexual assault and inappropriate conduct filed against Deshaun Watson by a woman who says she believes, keyword, she believes the Texans quarterback is a, quote, serial predator, end quote. The lawsuit was filed Monday night. It appeared on the Harris County District Clerk's website Tuesday morning. It alleges Watson assaulted and harassed the plaintiff by exposing himself to her and touching her with his penis. That's what it says in the lawsuit. So this incident allegedly took place in California, just the second of the 14 allegations to take place outside of the Houston area. So, you know, that's right. That's the situation right there.
Yeah,
he's being accused of a lot of different things. This is 14 lawsuits now at this point.
Yep.
One of them that was filed yesterday was from this month.
Right.
So that's obviously, you know, a major issue. Now, you know, there's a lot of questions that are going on here. One of them is how you go from 1 to 13 cases so fast. Mike McCann, a legal analyst for Sportico, was on Freddie and Fitzsimmons, and he explained how it went from 1 to 13 so quickly.
So the lawyer would argue that, Tony Busby would argue that these are victims who feel like they haven't been able to go to law enforcement, that they worry about retribution if they come forward. These are all sort of reasons that they would give to say that they're not in a position, that they don't feel empowered. I think it's fair to ask, and as your question really alludes, it's good to be skeptical of this, and that it did go from 1 to 13 very quickly. And also, from what we can tell, there hasn't been a law enforcement investigation into this, at least from what we know. We know that the attorney Busby said he was going to share materials with the Houston police, but from what I've read, it doesn't sound like the police have received it, at least not yet. So it's always important to stress that this is a civil lawsuit, or 13 civil lawsuits, not criminal charges. There hasn't been a grand jury. There hasn't been a charge. There hasn't been a conviction. But certainly it's troubling to see what's been alleged.
So there's that, right? Yeah. There's that part of it. But despite the fact that you can be skeptical and that this is, again, civil, this is not a trial or anything like that, not a criminal lawsuit, still, the other thing that Mike McCann added was that even if he is and winds up innocent in all of this, he believes the damage is already done. We could play that audio.
Yeah, there's still damage to his reputation. Just the accusation alone, being accused of sexual assault. I don't know if there's ever a complete remedy to that. That this will linger with him probably. Now, that doesn't mean his sponsors are going to cut him. I don't think they would take that step unless there's real evidence. Unless these complaints advance, I think they'll be very cautious in that, because let's face it, other athletes are going to be watching. And if his sponsors cut ties with him early, and then later on these allegations are unproven or disproved even, I think athletes might be hesitant to sign with those companies. So these companies have to be pretty prudent about how they go about this situation.
Now, for Deshaun Watson and that whole situation, it's not just companies watching, it's not athletes watching, everybody's watching. Roger Goodell, the Texans, fans, teams that wanted to trade for him, all of it. And each day, another lawsuit, another headline, and we continue to – it's jarring right now to see how much of this is coming out. And the end of this is what we're all now wondering, what to believe after there's a player that you thought had such a pristine profile throughout his career. All right, coming up, the NFL is going to have that draft in person in Cleveland, Barton. Who's going to make that mistake by the lake,
as we talk about.
It's just too easy. It really is too easy. But before we get to that, and of course your calls as well, Bart, you have this from Hello Fresh.
Yeah, speaking of fresh, that was fresh what you just did. I love that transition. Like that. Super like smooth. That. Stop eating the same old every night and change things up with Hello Fresh. They're America's number one meal kit for a reason. HelloFresh delivers simple recipes and high-quality ingredients picked at the peak of their ripeness. It's also 28% cheaper than shopping at your local grocery store and 72% cheaper than restaurant meals without sacrificing quality, according to Zagat Dining Survey. Go to HelloFresh.com/BART12 and use code BART12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping for a limited time only. That's HelloFresh.com/BART12 and use the promo code BART12 for 12 free meals. Free 99 works every time. Back after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Bart and Han.
Bringing those beats. Bart Scott, bringing the beats.
Yeah.
Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life.
Yeah.
Jay Will's going to join us. We haven't had enough time with him today.
Exactly.
He's going to join us at the top of the hour. Well, you know what? We've got some basketball calls. Kind of feel like we should take some basketball calls with Jay.
Let's assume with Jay Weezy. You know he's an expert. You know, you're an expert too, but I like when you two basketball savants just kind of talk it out.
Mm-hmm. Got some football calls as well, we promise. We will continue with the conversation and the phone calls as well. But right now, getting it done, it's brought to you by Grainger. You think the NFL's getting it done? They're going to have next month's draft at Cleveland in person, Bart. All around downtown. Fans allowed back after the virtual drafts that we've experienced. So I guess Bill Belichick's dog no longer will be a big star. Who knows?
Nike? Why don't you just call him Swoosh? That's so much better than calling him Nike. Swoosh.
I had a dog named Nike.
You should call him Swoosh. Isn't Swoosh better?
Swoosh is hard. How do you yell for Swoosh? Yeah.
How you do it?
But you yell Swoosh.
What you can't do
what's
is
your dog's
have
name?
Gum. You can't have gum in your mouth while you're saying Swoosh because that's definitely going to come out. You're going to spit on everybody. Hey, Swoosh. Hold on, man. I dropped my gum. Damn it. It's the third pack of gum this week.
But it's just like, you know, when you name a dog, you got to be real careful of how it sounds when you call for it.
Yeah.
Because you just don't want to be that guy, like, you know, down the...
Hey, delicious. Hey, yo, delicious. Shout out Cedric the Entertainer.
With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is always there to help. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop by. The NBA's on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight. Zion and the Pelicans, Bart, host.
Oh, yeah.
No one in the Lakers.
They go.
LeBron, no AD. Presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations.
They're going to open the play-in tournament to 13 so they can get Zion in this year, too. Like, all right. If you're in the top 13, you get to play in.
Ugh. If you're in the league, if your team played 72 games, you get in the play. Like, they'll find anything to get Zion into the postseason, won't they?
Oh, that's crazy.
It's a matter of time. They're still outside of the 7-10. At least they are right now and whatnot. But still, it's Zion. There's no LeBron, no AD, so it's no longer Zion and LeBron and the Lakers. It's Zion and the Pelicans and the Lakers.
It's like them yellow dudes.
And the rest. Jay Will's going to join us next. Talk some hoop, Bart and Han. ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Han weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Han, the podcast.